If someone were to come to you and tell you that a story about an Italian plumber who fights turtles with mushrooms, all in an effort to save a princess from a much larger turtle that breathes fire, would one day become the most beloved franchise in video game history, you'd probably have thought that person to be very weird, or at least off-kilter in some way. At the very least, you had thought this person had been sampling some of the same mushrooms that the Italian plumber was said to be using. Nevertheless, the character of Mario has become a household name in the eastern part of the world as well as the west. And ever since his debut back in 1983, Mario, along with his brother Luigi, have appeared in nearly 50 video games to date. Some have been part of the ever-beloved Super Mario Bros. Line, while other appearances have ranged from Mario playing tennis, to soccer, to baseball, and even brawling with fellow Nintendo characters, a la Street Fighter style. Mario's impact on the world of gaming has been more than significant. Its style and creativity has given rise to numerous other franchise characters over the years. But outside of its original premise, which was basically jumping over barrels and trying to stop Donkey Kong, what else has made Mario so memorable? And why has he lasted for these last four decades? How has a little Italian plumber become such a recurring player in our culture at large? Today's episode, we look at the man, the myth, the icon that is Mario. I'm JC Alfelto, and this is The Writer's Lounge. Guys, welcome back to The Writer's Lens after my long sabbatical being away from this podcast. If you've been following along at home, then you know the last time I actually had an episode was basically sometime towards the end of 2022. So yes, it's long overdue. I know you've been patiently waiting next to your Spotify, Podbean, iPhone podcast app, just salivating, waiting for the moment, maybe fasting through famine for my podcast to resurface. So I am back. I am officially back, and you no longer have to go through that grueling torture that you were going through waiting for the podcast to return. So kudos to those that have been sticking it out all this time, waiting for The Writer's Lens to resurface. I myself have been waiting for this moment for a long time as well, mostly because of the fact that I've had a lot going on. I'm not going to get too deep in the weeds with this episode because I got Mario to talk about, who's one of my favorite video game characters ever, from my favorite video game manufacturer ever, Nintendo. But, short story long, or long story short, my family, we did some adopting this past year, and it's been a really, really rigorous process. We went all the way to India, brought a little girl back with us. She's been adjusting to our family as we've been adjusting to her. It's been one of the craziest journeys of my life, and it's been amazing watching her now starting to grow up in our home with my other three children. And as you can imagine, there's a lot of paperwork, there's a lot of meetings, there's a lot of appointments, there's a lot of medical things you have to do. And that really has just eaten up all my bandwidth up until recently. And I told my wife, I said, I've got to resurface this podcast. We got to resurrect this thing. I'm just about ready to get back out there in the game. So that's the shortest version I can give you as to why I've been gone for so long. But anyway, on to the topic at hand, which is talking about story and talking about characters that are in story. And today I'm talking about probably what is the most beloved video game character of all time, which is the character of Mario, that little sweet Italian plumber who has spent most of his career fighting against a massive turtle known as King Koopa, otherwise in the West known as King Bowser. And Mario, by all accounts, is a very unassuming hero. Okay, he's not anybody that looks really ripped. He's not a character that looks like he's ready for battle all the time. He's not packing a couple Uzis. He doesn't have this extreme armor on his back like, characters like Master Chief from Halo. So he doesn't look like a very imposing figure. So the question, of course, remains, why has he been around for nearly 40 years? Why has this character been so memorable in the eyes of video game players and, of course, in culture at large? It would seem as though, like, this very insignificant-looking little plumber really wouldn't have the lasting power that he has had for all these years. And you could make the argument that, yeah, he was one of the first to be on the scene and be a side-scroller and all this kind of stuff. But the purpose of this episode today is really to dig into why that is. Why has Mario been able to stick around as long as he has? And for those of you that are listening to this and probably went out this summer and saw the Super Mario Brothers movie with Chris Pratt and Anya Taylor-Joy, great movie. It's probably one of the better cartoon / 3D animated films I've seen in a long time. It's probably one of the best animated films I've seen since WALL-E, when Pixar released that years and years ago. I could be missing a couple in between there, but WALL-E was just fantastic. But Mario was really good. And the movie was really good because it stayed true to this very simple concept about what makes Mario so appealing. And it's not that there's no blood necessarily. It's not that it's, you know, it's not gory and it's just aimed at kids and everything. It's the fact that Mario, for whatever reason, when the character came about, was probably one of the first games that I can recall back in the NES days when the Nintendo Entertainment System first came out, was one of the first characters to really merge narrative with puzzles. Because video games for the longest time had been all about just puzzle solving. You know, you had Pong and you had Tetris, and you had these games that were really just about kind of solving a puzzle. You know, there wasn't really a character attached to what you were doing. You were trying to put a stick in a hole, perhaps, or you were trying to fit blocks together. You were trying to, you know, score a goal on the other side, but there wasn't really like a face with it. Mario presented a face. He presented a hero's face. He presented a guy that had a mission, and that mission was to save a princess. So here you are with this very popular narrative. You know, the knight in shining armor, he's going to ride it on his white horse. He's going to save the princess. It's a centuries-old trope, okay? It's a centuries-old story, but it works like a charm, and we'll get into that later. But here he is in the form of an Italian plumber. And he's got these goofy overalls. He's got this red shirt, red hat with an M on it, for crying out loud, so you know his name is Mario. And he's got, you know, the little mustache that, you know, often goes with the stereotype of being Italian. He even says, "It's a me, Mario." You know, he speaks with that Italian accent. And one would think that this character, you know, not being the knight in shining armor, you know, you would need something a little more robust, you know, something that looks very intimidating. And yet Mario is none of those things, and yet he still ends up being a hero, and over many, many years has become iconic. He's been associated with being a hero. He becomes associated with a guy who never gives up. And that was something inside of the movie that I saw this summer that was very true to the character of Mario. Mario, there's a scene in the film, in the Mario Brothers film, where Mario is being tested by Peach, okay? He's being tested by Peach, and she says, "Look, you have to beat this gauntlet. You got to jump around. You got to hit these coin blocks. You got to get some power-ups, you know, things like that. And if you can finish this, then I'll know you have what it takes to go fight against Bowser, because Bowser's trying to take over the Mushroom Kingdom. He's trying to do all these terrible things, and I need someone to stand by me to take on Bowser." And so Mario tries it the first time, and he can't do it. He's not good at it. You know, he can't actually finish the gauntlet that Peach has given him. But then this montage, of course, goes on. He keeps trying, keeps going back, he tries again, he does it again, he does it again. And in a lot of ways, this mirrors the gameplay of the Mario Brothers games themselves, because if you've ever played a Mario game, what you have to do is you have to side-scroll your way through a level, one of the old-school 2D ones, or even if you played one of the new ones, which are in three dimensions now, of course, even though the most recent one is 2D again, which is great. But you had to get all the way through the end, get your power-ups, beat your enemies, and then raise the flag and conquer the level so you could move on to the next one. And of course, you can't just jump around. You can't go to the next castle until you've defeated this one. And so the common theme with Mario is that you have to be able to finish what you started before you can move on to the next thing. And that is the staple of the Mario Brothers franchise and the way the games are always played. It's not this super open world thing. Yes, there is a little more open world decision making in later iterations of Mario. But this idea that the character never gives up. And as long as you, the player, are willing to put yourself to the hazard, you are going to have to defeat this castle. You're going to have to figure out how to beat this place before you can move on to the next thing. You can't just jump around, and you can't skip levels. Of course, there are a lot of cheats. If you're someone who played years ago, you found out some of the cheats where you could, you know, get past levels without having to fight a lot of people. But that's what you had to do. Okay, and that encompasses the character of Mario. It encompasses his appeal of this ordinary guy who has to do something extraordinary. And he doesn't have a sword. He doesn't come with a big Gatling gun. He doesn't come with missiles and rockets. He comes with a plumber's wrench, which is funny because I don't think he ever actually uses a wrench in most of his games. He uses other weapons. He has like a cape. He gets to use his hat. He uses mushrooms, which is a whole other weird fever dream thing that Mario, the developers came up with years ago, that he would have mushrooms that would give him power-ups. That's another funny thing. But he doesn't give up, okay? This character does not give up. And the movie displayed this very well, I thought. You know, he fought Donkey Kong and he didn't give up. He was in his go-kart racing scene and he wasn't giving up. And he was just basically throwing himself to the hazard constantly because that's who Mario is. That's what makes him a hero. That's what makes him such a great character to follow, because you know he's just going to keep coming. He's not going to stop. And I say all this because this is the merging of the narrative with the puzzles that are in the Mario series. And, you know, say what you will and maybe have your opinions about this, but that kind of idea and this idea of the knight in shining armor, and of course he's going off to save the princess, is, like I said, centuries old, but it speaks to young boys. And young boys were the first ones to really get into home gaming consoles. I mean, I was probably, I think, about 7 or 8 years old when the first Nintendo was starting to come home. It was starting to enter into the home. The Nintendos were coming, you know, they were coming around, and kids were buying them. Sega Genesis came later. Sony PlayStation came much later. There were the console wars going on in the 90s and, of course, in the early 2000s. They're still going on to this day, as far as I can say. And it was pretty much the death of arcades, okay? It was the death of going to the mall and playing arcades and, you know, using, you know, 10, 15, 25 cents to keep playing arcade games. The home console destroyed all that. But it destroyed a lot of that because it was speaking to young boys. It was speaking to young men and this narrative, this idea that you could go off and you could save the princess. And I actually just listened to this recently. This was a really interesting clip, and I don't have it readily available here to share on the podcast. But a gentleman was talking about why kids will sit and play video games for a few hours and instead of doing their homework for a few hours and staying focused. And one of the things that this guy presenting said was that video games have immediate consequences. You know, you're playing a game that's external, but you're engaging with it. And as soon as you do something, something else may happen. Maybe you jump over a block. Maybe you jump over a platform like Mario does. And there's an immediate consequence. Either you get to the next part of the level, or you get sent back because you fell into the chasm and now you have to start over again. Homework is not that way. Okay, homework is not that way for kids. They do a problem, or they do a couple problems, and nothing happens. They don't know if they're right yet. They don't know if they're wrong. They have to wait to see if they actually did everything correctly. And so, in a lot of ways, it can make it harder to focus. I thought this was a really brilliant way of explaining why, especially young boys, have such a hard time sitting in classrooms, you know, and paying attention. And this might seem like a sidebar for this conversation here about Mario, but I think it's pertinent. Because, again, we're talking about the appeal of this video game character and why I think young boys latched onto it so much. When you're young, okay, when you're a young kid, you really have no big identity yet, okay? You don't really have identity. You don't really have a sense of really who you are yet, because you're doted on by your parents, or you're doted on by your guardians in whichever way it is. Hopefully, you're in an environment where there's somebody looking out for you. And so your identity is something that you're still searching for when you're a young person. Young boys don't really start developing that until they start engaging with other kids, when they start engaging with other boys, and they start to realize where they are in the pecking order of things, right? And the pecking order of, you know, the people talk about, oh, there's the alpha males and all this kind of stuff. Well, that's a lot of, you know, some of that could be true. But the reality is that boys are always sizing each other up. You know, just like girls size each other up, I get that. But boys size each other up in a sense of, what am I able to present? You know, what am I able to offer in terms of strength? What can I do? And Mario is a character that is very unassuming. When you first see him, he's not anything special. He's not anything really extraordinary. But he is a character that has the ability to offer a lot once you start playing the game and once you start actually following the narrative. Once you start following the story, you see that as every level gets harder, you improve as the player. You should be improving as the player, because that's how you get to the next level. And not only that, but your power-ups may change and your ability to use them may change. So I'm not trying to say that Mario is some deep dive into Freudian psychology or anything like that. I'm not trying to make that kind of argument. But for a young kid, okay, for a young boy with, you know, who's just starting to learn his identity, where is he at in the pecking order? What can he offer in terms of strength? A very unassuming character such as this, coming along at the right time when you're that young and playing that game with a character who just, who his only focus seems to be that I don't give up, I'm going to save the princess, speaks to that young masculine soul. It speaks to that young boy that this is something that he's also going through. And I can say even as an adult, you know, I'm going to be 40 next year, which is, you know, again, kind of hard for me to believe, but I can still play those games and yes, enjoy them for the puzzles, but there's still that sort of undergirding narrative there and this idea that I have to go save the princess. I have to offer some strength to the situation. And that's his mission. That's the mission of Mario. And again, as the big question at the beginning of this podcast was, what has been the appeal of Mario for so many years? And it's the fact that Mario's mission has never really changed. You know, he has to save the Mushroom Kingdom. He has to save the princess. You know, he has to save his brother in some cases, you know, Luigi. He has to save Toad. He has to do all these different things. He has to offer the strength that he has. He has to do something extraordinary, even though he may seem like a real ordinary Joe. And in many cases, you know, you don't have that character in a game. But in this case, you have a character who seems pretty ordinary and he has to do the extraordinary. So again, I think that's something that the movie got really well. I think they did a good job portraying that about Mario's character, is that he's someone that doesn't give up, even though the odds seem to be stacked against him very, very high. And this idea that it speaks to this masculine soul, this idea that we have to go out and we have to rescue a beauty, we have to save the princess, is a very real thing. And as much as the feminists and the crazies out there want to suppress this idea and they want to, you know, smash the patriarchy or whatever nonsense they talk about, you're still going to have to deal with this. You're still going to have to deal with this with every young boy, with every young man who's growing up. He has this yearning in his soul. He has to figure out how to do this. He has to offer his strength to the world. Not every man has the same kind of strengths. Not every man has the same giftings. Not every man has the same talents. But he has to figure out what those things are in order for him to feel as though that he's not just ordinary. He actually has something that he can offer that is of value to others. And that's sort of the broader idea here outside of, you know, mashing buttons and playing video games where you get to control an Italian plumber in the middle of a fever dream, such as the Mushroom Kingdoms. But it's all relevant. Again, as I said, I think it's all relevant. And it teaches us that. I do believe that this game teaches us that. And Mario has inspired dozens of other franchise characters that have almost the exact same narrative. I mean, look at The Legend of Zelda, another very popular Nintendo franchise. Yes, it took me a while to realize that Link was the guy. He wasn't actually Zelda, who had the sword and shield. I get that. You know, other stories with, you know, the Master Chiefs of Halo and the gods of war, such as with Kratos, you know, going out and protecting his son or trying to, you know, the most recent iteration where he was essentially carrying the ashes of his long-lost love. This idea of a mission that men have, that boys are going to have, that they're going to go on and test themselves and test their strength, is a very, very real thing, and it speaks to every single one of them. So I'm going to leave it at that. I'm not going to keep drawing on and on about this concept. I think I've really kind of hit my point. But I am going to leave it with just this, is there's been a popular movement about this idea that the princess has to save herself. You know, there was a book, I think years ago, it was written, it was called, and this one, The Princess Saves Herself. And I get that. I get that spirit that's behind it, this idea that men haven't always been there, that men haven't always stepped up to the plate and taken responsibility for things. And our culture has sort of, you know, pushed back against that. And instead of actually nurturing men in such a way or trying to give them that avenue to get back on track, we've kind of smooshed them down even further and said, no, just go play your mindless video games. And, you know, we'll figure it out for you, or we'll give it to other guys that are far more ferocious and tyrannical. That seems to be the way we've rewarded men who try to give something of value in our culture. But the princess isn't supposed to save herself, okay? Or rather, she doesn't always have to, because that's what her prince is there for, okay? That's what the prince is there for. That's what the hero is there for. That's the role that we all have to play. The princess doesn't have to just save herself in every single scenario that she's in. And if she has the ability to depend upon another guy, if she has the ability to depend upon her prince, then it changes the entire dynamic of that relationship, and it changes the dynamic of the culture at large. Because when men are giving their strength, if they're offering up their strength or whatever it may be, then women will reciprocate that. At least that seems to be what I've seen. It seems to be what I've seen in those cases. And video games are just a small space where that gets to play out still. And I think in this form of art that is video games, and Mario being as simplistic as it is, it still gives us that. It still does give us that. And I will say, in the Mario Brothers movie, I was a little bit taken aback by the fact that Peach could just do ninja moves and things like that, which was very different from, I mean, granted, they've done that with her in a few other games, but I was like, oh, wow, what does she need Mario for if she's just going to be able to do all this ninja stuff in the movie? But again, they brought it back. Mario was needed. He showed that he never gives up. He was willing to save his brother. He was willing to save the kingdom, and obviously offer his strength to Peach. So lots of good stuff in there. And I didn't want to droll on and on about this. So sorry if I did there at the end. I just wanted to get those last couple of tidbits out. Again, I'm just getting back into the swing of things, guys. So just bear with me as I get used to recording these episodes and offering up some perspectives on narrative and writing. So hope you enjoyed this comeback episode. I think it was fitting considering I've been playing some Super Mario Brothers Wonder as of late. If you haven't played it yet, great game. Another fantastic entry in the Nintendo Super Mario franchise. I think it's really good. And you get to play as Mario, Luigi, Peach, Yoshi, all different characters. It's a lot of fun. So go check it out if you are one of those folks. But if you're a Sony or Microsoft person, whatever, you know. Well, we could still be friends, but whatever. Anyway, till next time, guys. Thanks for joining in. Be on the lookout for the next episode here. I'm JCL Felto, and this is The Writer's Lens.